Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that's in our midst. We enter your word and ask that that presence go with us. Like Moses said, we will not leave this place except you go with us. Come and open our eyes, anoint me afresh, put the same anointing upon the hairs and the hearts of your people. Everyone that is here, those who are listening to me remotely or will be listening to me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word. We ask the power of the Spirit be released in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of what things they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy. So I'll be faithful as I deliver the word. So do it with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, amen. This afternoon, I have a very important message I want to share with us. The Lord put it in my heart in recent times, and I have entitled it Prophetic Worship. We are coming into the time of the glory of God being made manifest in the church, and God is going to move the church to a higher level of worship, both individually as well as corporately. And I want to share a few things from the Word of God that will instruct us in this regard. The early Pentecostals, people like my pastor, Pastor Porter, who's gone home to be with the Lord, his wife is still alive. In fact, I spoke to her daughter on Thursday or Friday. She just called me on the WhatsApp. She's fine, but she was just resting. Ms. Porter is 103 now, you know, and the early Pentecostals experienced a level of worship that is probably totally unknown to this generation of Christians. I experienced a little bit of it in that Pentecostal church. I used to go to Assemblies of God in London, in central London, behind the Paddington Tube Station. And they will tell you stories. You know, I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't see that much of it. But in my own personal individual life, I've experienced a little bit, so I can speak also from personal experience. But they will tell you that, you know, at the turn of the century, that's in the 1906, you know, 1910, 1920, right until the 40s, there were times a congregation would be like this, and the Spirit of God will come upon the congregation, and people will begin to sing in the Spirit. Not earthly song, it's totally heavenly. They will begin to, and they will be singing in harmony. It will be like being in heaven. But you will know that there are men on the earth. The same thing happened in the Welsh Revival, you know, in Wales. This was about 1904. There would be times that the Holy Spirit will invade the congregation, and the people, everybody will be standing, they will be worshiping God in the Spirit, in tongues, you know, but it will be harmonious. It will be harmonious. Sometimes it will last for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, you know, and there will be this powerful presence of God. And if you're outside and you're listening, or if you're listening, it will be like you're hearing sounds from heaven. You'll be hearing the music, even the tune. It won't be any tune that we're singing. It will be a tune from heaven, and they will be singing, and they'll be worshiping, and they'll be singing, and they'll be worshiping, and then everybody will just be quiet. Then there will be a presence. You could almost, sometimes they will sit like that for 10 minutes. Nobody will move, not even babies. That's how you know it was God. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling us some of these stories, you know, that sometimes they'll be like that. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, nobody will move. They'll just be quiet. Not even the babies will cry. Because in those days, they didn't even have Sunday school, like, you know, sometimes there was a small church, all the children and the babies, everybody would be there. There'll be such a presence. The whole place will be quiet. That level of worship and interaction with God is going to return. And we will even go beyond it. But for God to do it, there needs to be understanding. I thank God for the spiritual pedigree I have. I was sharing with somebody who came for counseling this weekend, you know, and I was saying, you know, I really thank God for my spiritual pedigree. My spiritual pedigree, you know, it wasn't me who did it. It was God who plugged me in. You know, I had no clue. You know, I went to Imperial College. I was looking for a church. My friend and I were looking for a church. And there was this Assembly of God church just behind my own hostel. I was in this postgraduate hall, Lillian Penn, still there. It's on Sussex Gardens, you know. Then you have Parade Street, and then you have Paddington Station, and then behind it you have the church. I had no clue, you know. And we just went to that church, and there's this nice old man. He was in his 50s then, you know, Pastor Porter, and late 50s, you know. And he welcomed us into the church, and that's how that place became my church. Little did I know that Pastor Porter was connected spiritually, you know, to Smith Wigglesworth, you know, and he, you know, and Kenneth Hagin. There was hardly any major pastor of the 20th century, you know, Pentecostal pastor that didn't preach in that my church. Not when I was there, of course, it was long before I was born. I'm talking about in the 1940s, 1950s. 1960s, Kenneth Hagin has been there, Yonggi Cho has been there, you know, old Wigglesworth used to go there a lot when they were in the 1940s, you know, before he died, he would go, he would spend the night in their house. You know, I took Pastor Wale there, you know, I've taken Itunu, I've taken Mommy has gone, you know, children, you know, and Miss Potter, she always likes to tell all stories. Pastor Wale would tell all the stories. She would bring one bottle that's used to put anointing oil in, and he left it for them as a souvenir. It's still there, you know, and tell us all kinds of stories, you know, of the presence of God, of the glory of God. This generation of Pentecostals knows nothing. Sadly, all we know is hype. That's not the Spirit of God. There's a place for that, though, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You know, but really, you know, where you bring the presence of God, when you bring the glory of God down, you know, there are times, even Smart Pastor told me, you know, even in their own church, 1954 or something, they had one meeting. He said they were there, you couldn't move when the glory of God came into the church. It was a small church, too. Nobody could move. Anybody that tried to stand up, the thing would hit you and you sit back. You're talking about falling under the power. That was how powerful it was. If you tried to stand from there, the power will hit you, go back on the floor. You couldn't stand up until the glory lifted. We need that kind of level of glory to come back. You know, when we have that, if strangers come, they'll say, surely God is in thee. You have to convince anybody that there is God. Because they would have met with God. People should come into our services and get healed during the worship. No prayer, no word of wisdom, no word of knowledge. Just presence. Incurable diseases should be healed like that. Prophetic worship. Let me just do a review. I did this at the beginning of the year when we did Thanksgiving. So I'll just talk about it briefly. What is Thanksgiving and worship? It is a spiritual sacrifice that we take from our hearts through our mouths, you know, to bless and to refresh God. There's several scriptures for this. Because of time, I'm not going to run through them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise, continually giving thanks unto God. 1 Peter 2, 5 talks about, offer up spiritual sacrifices by Jesus Christ. It's in contrast with the physical sacrifices of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals. But in the New Testament, we still sacrifice, but now it's a spiritual sacrifice. It comes from our hearts through our mouths, and we minister unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 53, I'd like to go to that one. Thank you for bringing this one up. Luke chapter 24, this is the end of Luke. It says they were continually, hello somebody, everybody shout continually. Say, God wants continual worship. And they were continually, I didn't hear you, in the temple, praising and blessing God. I remember when I first read this statement as a younger Christian, in my early days, I said, how can a man bless God? It's God who blesses men. Can a man bless God? Can men bless God? What do you want to give God to bless him? Are you going to give him a car? Are you giving me a house? Are you going to give me money? No. The fruit of your lips. It blesses and refreshes God the same way food, water, or even a breeze, like an air conditioner or a fan, refreshes you after vigorous activity. Imagine maybe you've been running on something, you've been doing a lot of football or, you've been playing a sport, and then you're after the game, you're feeling a little bit, tired and all of that. Then you say, please give me some water. Has that happened to you before? Then you take a little bit of the water. How do you feel? Refreshed. And then, because you're feeling hot and all that, you stay in front of a fan or the air conditioner, and the cool breeze, what does it do? It refreshes. That's what your worship does to God. Our worship, because God is spirit. God is a spirit. You see, cars and physical things can't bless God. But you can bless him with the spirit. So you take the spirit, the power of the spirit of God from your heart. Then you release it through your mouth. And when it comes to him, it refreshes him just like water or food will refresh your physical body. It will, refresh him like a cool breeze. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And I used to wonder, and then many years later, God taught me. He said, I'm always working. The Bible says, of him, through him, and to him are all things. God is always releasing power. So when somebody worships him, he refreshes him after that vigorous activity. Look at Exodus chapter 31. Look at verse 17. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 17. The Bible says, for 6 days God worked. He says, and on the seventh day he what? Rested and was refreshed. Don't your neighbor say, God can be refreshed. So your worship, your praise and your worship should, now sometimes it doesn't, should refresh God. That's why you have to do it from a pure heart. That's why in the book of Malachi it says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, that he will purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer an offering in righteousness. When he's not in righteousness, it doesn't refresh him. That's why we need the cleaning of the blood of Jesus. That's why we need to live clean and holy lives. So that, that's why it says, lift up holy hands. The praise and the worship should come from a pure chalice. It has to come from a pure heart. For it to have, it's just like somebody gives me water when I've finished all that activity, but the water is contaminated. Imagine, you give me water, but it has mud inside. It has spirogyra and algae. That's not going to refresh me. It's going to make me sick. Praise and worship that's not coming from an impure heart picks up all these impurities. Then you want to minister that to God, he won't receive it. That's why it has to come from. That's why we clean our hearts before we worship. confess our sins, so we clean with the blood, and in Jesus' name we have life. And say, you know, give life to our spirits in the measure that's born, and so I will praise and worship God effectually and fervently. Something you should add after this message is, always, especially privately when you're worshiping God, say, God, give life to my spirit in the measure that's born, and to enable me praise and worship you effectually and fervently with the spirit of prophecy. Add it. I'll explain before we finish. So your worship should be prophetic. That was what made David so special. David's worship in the Old Testament was prophetic. It was David that wrote some of these things. He wrote in Psalm 50. He said, "Will I offer unto God bulls and goats?" David was smart enough to realize that it's not these rams that we are killing that's making God happy. He said, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Way back in the Old Testament, in Psalm 50. You know, so you want to minister unto the Lord from a pure heart. No, none of us can make our hearts pure. That's why we need the blood. You say, who can say I've made my heart pure? Nobody. But my heart can be pure by the blood of Jesus. So that's, and you know, I clean with the blood, I low with the word, I fire by the spirit, I walk in the spirit, I live a clean and a holy life by the mercy and the grace of God, by using the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I now come to worship God, I'm going to give him pure worship. Something, God doesn't want something that is stinking. He wants something that is refreshing. You know, so he feels, I like that. You can now understand why he inhabits such praises. Who doesn't like to inhabit a nice place? Remember, there's one beautiful song we sing. Some of these are our old songs. We need to sing them again. A palace of praise, a throne of thanksgiving, fitting for the King of Kings. That's it. A palace of praise. He'll come and he will sit down. He's enjoying the refreshing. He's enjoying the thing. So the man comes and says, I'm staying here for another 20 minutes. And nobody's going anywhere. I'm enjoying this. And there are things like healing and blessing. He'll just be giving it out. You know, those are just, you know, side effects of the presence of God. God inhabits the praises of his people when it's done properly. Might we add? Because many times, sadly, it's not done properly. Because of lack of understanding. So, we want to, you know, praise and worship God, you know, effectively. Now, to get to prophetic praise, let's just talk about praise and worship generally. You know, you praise God in the understanding. We saw this when I talked about thanksgiving. You find it in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 47. Let me check my notes. Psalm 47, I believe it is. Yeah. Psalm 47. Let's quickly look at it. Verses 6 and 7. Psalm 47. You know, it says, sing praises unto God. Hello. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Verse 7. Hey, this is David. For God is what? King of all the earth. Sing ye praise what? With understanding. In other words, know who you are worshiping. Don't just open your mouth. Talk. You know, like what we're singing this morning. It's an awesome God. You know, don't just sing it because it's a nice song. It's a nice song. But we say, awesome God. All kinds of thoughts are going on in my mind. I'm thinking about the heavens. The heavens declare the glory. I'm thinking about how fearfully and wonderfully I have been made. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We stand in the awe of your holy name. Lord, we this is a great King. This is a great God. That's not flattery. It's the truth. We don't even know half the truth. Do you know how great God is? You just have a little bit of a peek. So say, sing with understanding.
Sing with that. Let that knowledge of His greatness, of His goodness, of His mercy. He says, for the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. That beautiful psalm, we use it many times when we do Thanksgiving, when it says, you know, let the house of Aaron now say, and His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Moses say, His mercy. Let all Israel say, His mercy endureth. Let them that fear the Lord say, His mercy is forever. He made the sun and He made the moon, for His mercy is enduring. God is great. God is great. May God help us to know how great He is. Now, when we all sing, you know, we sing with understanding. This is a wonderful person. Not only is God powerful, God is nice. He's a good person. Very good. Very good. I've got to know God better now. You know, I come to understand Him better. When He doesn't do things, I don't force anymore. I know He's in full control. And what He has is for in store is better than what I'm thinking. He's much smarter than I am. That is the understatement of the century. God is a wonderful person. I was sharing last week, you know, all my years of preaching, I've never said it before. It came by the Spirit last week. You know, God made Solomon king so that David will know God had forgiven him. It's true. Of all the children that could have become king, the children of Bathsheba, the child of adultery, he shouldn't have made him king. But God did it to let David know that matter is forgiven and I've put it behind. So give the Lord a clap, offering. We're dealing with a nice person. What forgives, you know, he told David, he said, it's okay. You know, the first child died, that was a chastening. Solomon had a senior brother, you see him in heaven. So I'm coming to you, I'm Solomon's senior brother. Hi, how are you doing? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's true. You know, then when Bathsheba had Solomon, he called him the beloved of the Lord. And then he said, He swore God is great. David swore to Bathsheba that this Solomon is going to be the one who will sit on my throne. Adonijah and the other boys, everybody, I'm going to be king. Nathan went to David and said, these boys are trying to do something. David said, bring my mule. When he was still alive, he said, let them sound the trumpet. God save King Solomon. He said, the other party scattered. Adonijah and the other boys, their party. And then Adonijah ran. He ran to the temple and held the horns of the altar. They didn't kill him then. They killed him later. And Solomon said, well, it's all right. Let him go. It's okay. You know, why did God do all of that? David, it's okay. It's finished. That's the God we serve. He's a very nice person. Very nice person. Very, very. So when you sing, you know, thy loving kindness is better than life.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise.
So will I.
So will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name.
There's a reason why you're singing it. You understand. You're just singing. We're dealing with a very nice person. Kind, just, forbearing, long-suffering. But! There's another side. He will by no means clear the guilty. When God appeared to this guy, great man of God, Roland Buck. How many people have read Angels on Assignment? If you go back on the internet and get it, read it again, you know. Those are kind of books you read
ever so often. You know, because most of what we hear today is just all these earthly things. You get some heavenly material. I tell you. So one of the times, Gabriel appeared to this man in the 1970s. You know, Roland Bock, quite a number of times. You know, and there was one evening God took him to the throne room. You know, there's a particular chapter in that book. It's called My Visit to the Throne Room. It's one of the things that are stuck inside my heart. I read it back in 1979. I still have a copy, you know, on my computer somewhere. You know, anyway. So one of the times God took him, you know, God took Roland Bock. You know, he took him to heaven. He never saw God's face. Can't see direct. But he saw his something. So, you know, when he got to heaven, you know, and they started going around, God started showing him things and all of that. He took him to the throne room. He saw this archive of records. He said his head began to swim. He said God just laughed. So God said, chill. He didn't say chill. He said, relax. He said, take it easy. He said, you don't have to try and impress me. I already know your worst foot. He said, just relax. God is such a nice person. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. So he told him, he said, I keep records of everybody, of what they did on earth. So he pulled Abraham's record out. So, and he gave it to Roland Bock. Roland Bock started to read. I said, Abraham saw some things in the Bible. Then saw some other things. Then he saw a lot of other things. Then he didn't see all the Hagar. He said, Lord, he said, I don't record failure in heaven. He said, it's been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. It's in the Bible, still there, you know. But in my record for Abraham, you know, I've removed that. You've removed your own too. Give the Lord a clap offering. He told him, he said, I don't record failure in heaven. The man was shocked. God said, you know, he said, on judgment day, he said, everybody will get some praise. He said, some will get more than others because some have done more than others. He said, but there's nobody I will not praise. And then he gave it to him from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said that every man shall have the praise of God. Go and check it. It's the kind of person we're dealing with. Then he told Roland Bock on that day. He said, you know, loving kindness. He said, but there's the other side. God was telling him. He said, but I have another side. He said, you don't want to get on that side. He said, that's why I tell you to go and warn people. He said, there are some things, some places you don't want to go to. Unbelief. Covetousness. We began to tell him. He said, don't. He said, avoid. Tell people, avoid that kind of thing. He said, and it's not because. He said, I warn you so that you will not have a crash in front. He said to him, "You, these were the words God used, but I have another side. When people get into rebellion, unbelief, and all of that." In one of the episodes, you know, I'm just flowing by the Spirit. You know, I think it was Gabe, one of the angels came to see him one day. Gabriel brought Michael. He knew Gabriel because Gabriel had been coming. But this time, there was another angel just like Gabriel. But he looked fiercer. He said his countenance was fiercer. And all of that. So, they were in Roland Bock's sitting room downstairs, you know, in his study. So, you know, he went downstairs and he saw Gabriel. Gabriel said, we're here, we're coordinating some activities. Some evil spirits and devils are trying to do a few things, but he said, don't worry, we have it under control. I sent my angels out and we're working on it and all that. So he saw this other angel. He said his eyes were like a flame of fire and he had a very fierce countenance, you know. So Gabriel says, he said, incidentally, that's Michael. So Michael, you know, he greeted him and all of that. So Michael said, I'm waiting for the day when I don't have to show Lucifer any more respect. And I'm going to clear him and all his angels out of the heavens. And then they gave him scripture. in Revelation. He says, and their place was no more found. He said, but the day hasn't come yet. He said, we still have to show him some respect for now. He said, so we fight, you know, we push them back, then they come. He said, that's a constant thing we're doing now. He said, but the day is coming. He said, you don't want to face Michael. He said, I can imagine what it is for Michael to come against you. He's a warrior angel. Yeah, these are things Christians should read. You know, that's why the level of Christianity today is so shallow. You know, we will read about breakthrough and all. These are books. These are the books we read and the experiences that we got to know who God really is. And all kind. There was another angel that was with them, you know, who was at Jericho. So he was telling Roland Buck, he said, we were at Jericho. He said, what happened at Jericho? He said, the walls didn't fall flat. Mm-mm. He said, we pushed them down like an elevator. Like what happens in a lift. He said, we pushed them down into the earth so they could not just jump across. Because the walls of Jericho were so big, they built houses on them. Remember, Rahab's house was on the wall. So it's not a kind of wall you can just push down. If you push it down like that, it will still have a barrier. You won't be able to go across. So they didn't destroy the wall. They pushed it down. That's how you know the guy was there. How did I get off on that? Amen. You're dealing with a good God. You're dealing with a wonderful person. Powerful, full of wisdom, kind, patient, forbearing. But he will not. He will not justify the guilty. And even that is love. If you allow human spirits that are in rebellion around the whole place, they're going to destroy the whole universe. Just like we put thieves in jail, God puts Satan and eternal rebels in hell. Simple. The reason why you don't allow armed robbers to be going all over the whole place and shooting and killing everybody, that's the same reason. He said he had prepared hell for the devil and his angels, and incidentally, all men who followed them. But it wasn't made for all men. Enough of that. Praise the Lord. So we need to worship God with understanding. We need to worship God. So we worship God with understanding. You know, we're singing, we're dancing, we're clapping. You see that in Psalm 150, where it says, in the dance, let me quickly check the scriptural reference. Am I helping anybody here? Yeah, Psalm 150. Where in the world are you? Verses 3 to 5. You know, plenty of stuff, but praise Him. Give me this in the New King James or New International. You know, the New King James is better. It says, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Verse 4. Praise Him with the timbrel and what? Dance. So it's okay to dance like we're doing today. Praise Him with the string instruments, the guitars and the flutes and the tambourines and the trumpets. And the saxophone. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. There's a place for all of that. You see, give me Koshele Mangara. I'm going to get prophetic worship in a minute. But before let me just take you step by step. Then so that's the first level. Understanding, singing, clapping, dancing. But that's level one. There's level two. You praise Him with tongues in heavenly language. See, we're here on this earth, which is good, you know, but there is worship in heaven. If you get to heaven and you see the worship, ask John. In the book of in the Isle of Patmos, when Jesus took him in the vision, and he took him, he fell flat on him. He was petrified. He said, and there were sounds and flashing and lightnings and thunderings and voices. As on a normal day. It's true. Then you have these, they call them beasts. They're actually specialized angels. They're not like Gabriel and Michael who look like men. These ones are specialized angels. They have four faces. One is the face of a man. The other one is the face of a lion. One's face of a lamb. The other one's the face of an eagle. And they have eyes in 360-degree vision. So as I'm seeing here, I'm also seeing here. And he's also seeing there. He's also seeing at the back simultaneously. Then he has wings. There's wings here. There's wings here. There's wings here. And there's wings here. And there are about four or five of them. They're just around the throne. All they do all day is holy, holy, holy. And then there are the voices of men. Can you hear the sound? It's the sound of many waters. It's the sound of worship coming from His throne. There are cries of adoration. As men from every nation lift your voice to make His glory known. Sing it, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Hallelujah, glory to God.
Like the sound of many waters, is the sound of worship coming from His throne.
That's why John fell. You have to understand, John and Jesus were very close. They were very close when Jesus was on earth. John was his closest disciple. He put the Holy Mother, you know, under John's care. But as familiar as John was, when he saw the resurrected Christ, Eruba, he was afraid. Of course, he knew Jesus wouldn't harm him. It was just the awesomeness of the majesty. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus had to, you know, comfort him. He said, fear not, fear not. Stand up. Fear not, fear not. Stand up, stand up. It's okay, it's all right. He said, come, come, I want to show you something. Come up here. And he took him to the throne. saw the angels, saw the beasts, saw the worship. What God wants now is an amalgamation of heaven and earth. There is where there will be a joining. So the worship here and the worship there, we join together. So we will not have, we're here, but we'll have a peep into what's going on there. It's coming. It's on the way. Thank you, Father. It's on the way. It's true. It's on the way. There will be, as the days are coming, you know, of the glory of God, there will be times we will be in this service where nobody can move. You're worrying about going home. You won't be able to get up from your seat. You will try and get up, you can't get up. Because of the presence. But it's going to bless you. It's not going to hurt you. You leave the place transformed. Because you have sat in the presence of a holy God. May God have mercy on us. These are the things I desire. You see, the Bible says, set your affection on the things that are above at the right hand of God, where Christ sitteth. Not on all these mundane things. We use these things, don't misunderstand. We have, they're important in their place. But, you know, this is not. The real thing is getting to know this God. I'm going to close. So, there is worship. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I believe it's verse 14 through 17. So, apart from the understanding, we also now worship God also in the spirit. And that's why tongues is very important. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, I didn't hear you. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is... Verse 15, where are we? Yeah, there we go. What is it then? Thank God for Paul. Pastor, where would we be without Paul? We won't have all this information if not for Paul. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit... And I will pray with the understanding. But it doesn't stop there. I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. Singing with the spirit is not very common in many of our Pentecostal churches today. They don't sing in the spirit. Hardly. A few places, you know, and there may just be a smattering, maybe just one or two people. But collectively, for the entire congregation to sing in the spirit... is a level of worship we must get into. And you know the reason, the reason why people don't do it is because they don't do it privately. You see, what I do privately in my closet, I can come and do in church. So when they are singing the spirit in church, it's not strange to me because I do it at home. So I can key in and I can join in the spirit. But if you don't worship God personally at home, when you now come here and people go into the spirit, how come I warn you? What do you? Hello. It's true. Y'all be looking at them. What's all this? Oh, well, of course, a lot of people are very respectful. Just, you know, just keep quiet until they finish. When they finish, then... But they don't join. You should join. Okay, let's stop. You know, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. But you see, I just give you that as an example. You should do that at home. So when we get here and we key in, you will bring your own anointing. Eh? Brother Ndubi's anointing will join with Pastor Ruda's anointing. It will join with Laolu's anointing. It will join with Prof's anointing. It will join with Pastor Gwega's own. You know what's going to go? It's an exponential increase. Then the glory will come. then the glory will come. So we not only worship in the understanding, we start with praise and worship in understanding, dance, sing, brother, then we move. It's the holy place now. We now move from the outer court into the holy place. Then we start worshiping in the spirit. We sing in the spirit. We worship in the spirit. So, you know what's going to happen? It's not only us who will now be singing, it will also be angels. Because it's the tongues of men and of angels. So, angelic worship will join human worship. Then we start seeing things happen. I want to thank God for the brethren who play the piano and all of that. But the hour is coming and now is there will be days when the piano will play itself. Because you too will be under the power of the Spirit. So you won't be able to play. But it will be playing. Who is playing? Angels. Kenneth Hagin tells this story. I've never forgotten it. I've said it here in church before. He had a young girl in his church. I don't know, maybe 17, 18. She used to dance in the spirit. It's a small church, maybe 150 people. It wasn't a big church. You know, this was churches he pastored in the 1940s. And there was a Sunday. I'm sure it happened more than once. But I remember the experience, you know. There was a Sunday, you know. The presence of God came. They were worshiping. They sang in the spirit and all of that. And then this girl began to sing in the spirit. She got up from where she was at the back. And her eyes were closed. And she began to sing in the spirit. And sing in the spirit. She went onto the platform. Her eyes closed. She went onto the platform and was singing in the spirit. And she walked off the platform and was walking on the air. The whole church saw it on the air. And she was singing and worshiping in the spirit. Ken Hagin said he was just looking. What's that called? A wonder. She walked on the... Imagine somebody from this pulpit now and he gets here, but she's in the air. And she's worshiping and singing in the spirit. Worshiping and singing in the spirit. Worshiping and singing in the spirit. She's walking on the air. And then she walks back onto the platform, opens her eyes, and then goes back and sits down. Now, let them come to your church and see that. They will say, surely God is in you. Are you talking? Are you following what I'm saying? Papa Hagin used to regret. He said, we don't see those things anymore. He said, we haven't seen those things since the 40s. We don't see those things anymore. He said, because this generation has not been taught. A lot of our praise is in the flesh. Flesh. Loves. And it's, like I said, there's singing and dancing. But even that one should be in the spirit. Even the singing and the timbrels and the tambourine, you should be in the spirit. What I mean is empowered by the Holy Ghost. Not just, I'm going to say something. God is going to let me say it. I'm going to say it nicely, you know, and then, you know, it's not just the church equivalent of disco. I'd rather they do it in church. So, that don't mind. You know, guys can, you know, so I can't do it in the discotheque, so I come and do it in church, which is okay. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I need to grow out of that. Here, I'm in front of the great King. I'm in front of the great King. So I'm here to honor him. I gotta close. Am I helping anybody here? So we have worship in tongues. Then the third level is prophetic worship, which is the title of this message. So I not only worship God in tongues, I now worship God with prophecy. What does that mean? See, I will sing in tongues, then I will sing the interpretation in English. It's still prophecy. It's only that is worship. Now, oh, can would be in your Bible to Psalm. There's so many of the Psalms. You know, just look for one of the Psalms. Pastor Andrew, somewhere, look for one of these Psalms where it says, a mashil of David upon some. The name of the instrument is in Hebrew. You'll see. Let me just look. I'll get one of the Psalms in a minute. You know, I thought I had it in my notes. You know, it will say, you know, upon an instrument of, you know, it will give me one of them. Let me see. Ah, okay. Psalm 40. Let's just use Psalm 40. Verse 1. Just verse 1. I just want to bring out a point. No. What kind of Bible have you got? Yeah. Psalm 40, verse 1. I can't believe what I'm seeing. My Bible says to the chief musician. Oh my God, have mercy on them. They're doing a disservice. Lord, have mercy. These are their funny Bibles. We have to be careful. Okay, go to Psalm 22. Verse 1. I'm going to read it in my Bible, the real Bible. To the chief musician, set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22. You know, you see, you need to understand something here. I'm talking about prophetic worship. Especially, this went throughout the life of David. It was throughout his life. But especially when he was running away from Saul. He was going from the cave at Adullam. He was running through the wilderness of Engedi. You know, the wilderness of Ziph. Our boys. You know, he would be running from, you know, the boy would be chasing him. So, in the evenings, after they've been running from Saul all day, you know, trusting God that they will not be caught. And they're able to escape Saul and his soldiers. They'll be inside the cave. So, in the cave, David will begin to worship. Then there will be a musician with a harp or some other instrument or a flute, like a saxophone, or, you know, then as he's worshiping, they will be recording what he's saying. So that's why it says to the chief musician, to the tune. Look at this. Psalm 22 is particularly prophetic and instructive. The reason why I've just chosen it, you know, out of many I could have chosen, is that he begins to say, my God, why have you... He's talking about Saul. He's talking about his present experience with Saul. But it is prophetic about Jesus. So, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, the enemy wants to kill me. They are chasing me up and down. Let's read it, you know. Why art thou far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry. He's talking about himself. You have to understand that prophetic worship starts with the understanding in what you know. And then as you move in the Spirit will now take you to what you don't know. My God! I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest me not. you know, David gets so frustrated, you know, about how Saul, you know, David did not know whether he would see the next day at this time of his life. Hello, somebody. He didn't know whether he would survive. You hearest me not. And in the night season, I am not silent. Next verse. Oh, thou art holy, but thou art holy who inhabitest the praises of Israel. How do we get that scripture from? This man was a great man, David. Now, look at the next verse. I just want to bring something out. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and that's the day. He's telling God that, like, you helped Moses, like you helped, you know, delivered me from this Saul. But let's go on.
They cried unto thee.
I didn't hear you, folks.
And were delivered. They trusted in thee, and they were not confounded or ashamed.
It's actually, it's a prayer from his heart because of the tribulation he was going through of Saul chasing him up and down. Next verse.
I am a worm, a no man, a reproach of men, the despised of the people.
He's talking about himself in that circumstance and situation with Saul. But watch this.
All day that see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head.
He's moved to Jesus.
This spiritual operation now. He's first of all talking about that. So all of a sudden, the Spirit begins to speak to him, through him, prophetically, about what's going to happen to Jesus thousands of years to come.
Next verse. You know they did this to Jesus on the cross. They did like this. He says, Messiah, let him come down from the cross. And we shall see if he can deliver himself.
He trusted on the Lord.
You know the Pharisees said this. Go and check the book of Matthew and the Gospels. It's all there.
That he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Seeing he delighted him.
David suddenly, the anointing shifted from his own experience and moved him to the experience of Jesus. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about prophetic worship.
Thou art he, but thou art he.
I didn't hear you, folks. That took me out of the womb, and thou makest me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast. This is true. It's true of David, and it's also true of Jesus, and it's also true of you. Who looked after you when you came out of your mother's womb? My auntie of blessed memory, Mrs. Biobaku, my mother's immediate senior sister, tells me that I was born in UCH in 1959. Yeah. He says, I was so small, they didn't know how they would have bath for me. I was just a tiny. They said, I was so. My mother couldn't bath for me. My auntie, because she had a child before, you know, so they had to just. He said, you know, you were so small, we didn't. We bow lashing my wife. They just took a little bit of water here and there, you know. And then put me in this thing, you know. And then, you know, my mom spent a few days in UCH. The guy who delivered me was Olikoye Ransom-Kuti. It was my mom's personal friend, you know, and my dad, you know. And then they took me. That time, my uncle, Professor Biobaku, was the registrar of University of Ibadan here at that time. This is 1959. So they brought me, you know, they tell me. I didn't know. You know, put me in a pram, put me in this thing, and you know. So my mother stayed with her sister for some months before my mom went back to Lagos, you know, to look after me. And I was so small, they didn't know whether I would make it or not. Because you see, you need to understand, my mother had an accident before I was born. On this Queen Elizabeth Road, the car somersaulted with the pregnancy inside. They weren't sure whether the baby would survive or not. That was why my grandfather named me Olubi. That it is God that gave birth to this one. That is why it is on your mother's breast. It is God who looks after us. It is God who looks after us. I'll tell you a little variant of that story. You know, I've heard different things, but you know, my mother told me this story. You know, I don't know if I've ever shared it here in church. I think I've told my wife. You know, I was maybe 6 weeks. I don't know. They put me in a pram. I had my cousins, Bisade, who's Ms. Bibaku's son, and then Harisat, who's my uncle's. You know, and they're all children. They were just 6, 7 years old that time. You know, so they put me in a pram and took me out into the garden here in this University of Van, the registrar's house here. So they left me out, you know, and people were like, a snake came and crept up the of the pram and would have beaten me. But they had a gardener who saw it. So he pushed the pram and the snake fell down, and then he killed the snake. So he's been after me for quite a while. That's all right too. Of course not. You know, the devil can see if a life has a destined life. Just like Moses. You know, he tried to kill Moses when Moses was a baby. Same thing. You know, it's a true story. My mother told me the story. You know, so the point I'm making is this. You know, we are put on God. It is God who looks after us from our mothers. Next verse. Verse 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. And thou art my God, where? From my mother's belly. True of Jesus, true of David, true of you. That's why the Bible is manifold wisdom. So, what is true? He says, it is written of me in the volume of the book. It's written of David, it's written of Jesus, and it's written of you. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. David goes back to his wahala with Saul. You see, you can see the spirit of prophecy. It's operating through his present situation, and then it will come and bring in some prophetic thing that is beyond him. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Verse 12. Many bulls have come past me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. Verse 13. I'm going to comment on this in a minute. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening, as a roaring lion. He's talking about the Roman soldiers. Prophetically. He's talking about the Roman soldiers. That's how they were. You know, remember? They were mocking him. We're not done yet. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. Crucifixion. The bone had been pulled here, pulled here, pulled here, pulled here. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Next verse. My strength is dried like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Jesus was dying on the cross. David is prophesying this through worship thousands of years before it happened. This is how you know the Bible is true. Next verse. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. I'll get to you in a minute. For dogs, again, the Gentiles, they're called dogs, you know, the Romans, have compassed me, that surrounded me. The assembly of wicked have enclosed me. Look at it again. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know it's crucifixion. Now, this is it. I'm going to make this point. I've made it before, but I'll make it again. This is why a prophet could not perish outside Jerusalem. Jesus could not die like anybody else. He couldn't just die of a stabbing or of just a random killing. He had to die by crucifixion to fulfill the scripture. That was why when they sought to kill him, he walked no longer in jury. He couldn't afford to die any careless death. He had to die in Jerusalem, and he had to die on the cross for the scripture to be fulfilled. Next verse. Am I helping anybody here? I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. Can you imagine the Roman soldiers? Eloi, Eloi. You know, my God, why have you
people were saying, give me. They said, he called for Elijah. He said, let us see if Elijah will come and pick him up. So they now take, they put vinegar and put it on something and give it to him. And mocking him. Next verse. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This did not happen to David and Saul. This was, David was talking about his situation. Then the Holy Ghost came on top of the prophetic and they began to bring prophecy out about what was going to happen in the future. When you begin to do prophetic worship in your life and you all begin to praise God, Lord, I love you and all that, that will be fine. Then if so, all of a sudden, a prophetic word will just come through you. It happens to me all the time. Well, that's why we must learn the art of prophetic worship. You will start with normal, natural things. Then all of a sudden, there'll be an anointing and you begin to say things you didn't think about. Next verse. Be not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste to him. David goes back to himself. He's talking now about Saul. Can you see the... Along I joy you all. Verse 20. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword and my darling from the power of the dog, the Gentiles. You know, next verse. I think it's about through now. You know, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Next verse. I will declare thy name. It goes back to Jesus. Unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. The word there is church. Next verse. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all ye seed of Israel. Is that it? For you have not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the affliction, neither you hid your face from him. But when he cried, you heard unto him. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Next verse. All the ends of the world. He goes prophetic again. Let me stop here because of time. You see, the point I'm making is this. When you get into prophetic worship, you pray, you worship in the understand, you worship in the spirit, then you begin to worship prophetically. You will speak things that are just normal, just natural, initially. Then, this is what I discovered in my own personal experience. You just find that at a particular point, an unction will come, and then you say things that are totally prophetic. Then you go back again to normal things. And you can see that pattern in all the Psalms. I just use it as a sample. Because that's why the Psalms are prophetic. They are prophetic worship. Hallelujah. And in this church, to the glory of God, God has helped us. We practice this a little bit. You know, we have a little bit, you know. I'm going to just use one or two illustrations and we're going to use it to worship to close. You know, I'm going to sing a song. My voice is not the best in the world, but God will help me. You know, the King of Love, my shepherd is. And, Put the lyrics on the board, so I can see. You know, I just, you know, this is a hymn that we all know. You know, but these are in my personal prayer, in my personal worship at home. This is what I do. I use songs of praise most of the time. I'll take a hymn, sometimes some of our choruses, and I'll sing it in the understanding. Then I'll sing it in the spirit. Then I'll sing it in prophecy. And I find that when I do that, sometimes a prophetic word will now come in between all of that. Just like it is, I showed you in the book of Psalms. This is one of my favorite hymns. It's a beautiful hymn. It's Psalm 23, of course, you know. But it's so beautiful. Hallelujah.
of living water. Myself, that verse. No, don't go here. Go, stay in that verse. Thy spreads the table. I'll sing this alone, and then I'll sing it in the spirit, and I'll see how God helps me with the prophecy. It says, thou spreads the table in my sight. Thy unction grace bestoweth, and what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Love fragliset ne pro fronel je fro glani frane. Neclise frune, j'en ai freglono, zafren, la fro freniglen. My Father God, I worship you, I bless you, Lord of glory, God of light and the God of love. I bless you, for you first loved me, Lord Jesus Christ. I honor loved me, you shed your blood, gave me your life that I might live and reign with thee. Holy Spirit, teacher. and guide my friend and my dear helper. Thanks for your love, patience, and truth by which you have preserved me. And so I sing to thee, my King, the God who did first love me. Thanks for your light, wisdom, and riches that you have bestowed upon me. And so we bring our gratitude to thee, the God who made us. You've done all things well, you've been so good, and so we worship and bless you. That's just an example. As you practice it, you will find the unction will come and the words will just come. And then sometimes a prophetic word will come inside, just like with David. And sometimes he'll tell me something personal to me. Something's going to happen. And I'll keep it. And it works. Now, we're going to close. And I want us to... Our choir has... God has blessed them. And they have... God has used them to write many prophetic... some of them were done today. Even the song that we sung earlier, and Pastor Andrew brought out the one stanza that was, it came by the Spirit. And I'm encouraging them into prophetic worship. And I've told them that when things like that come, write it down. That's what happened the time of David. Thank God we have electronics now, so it's recorded. Like these things that you can just write them down. And then that's how the book of Psalms was made. Then you keep the record of the things that God has said, and you're able to go back to them after some weeks, months. You can look at them and they will bless you and they will inspire you. There's a particular song that I like, and I would like us to close the service with this. It is this song, "We Stand in the Midst of a Multitude." Although it's more of praise, but it doesn't matter, you know. But there's a particular stanza there that it was the choir that was inspired. I don't know who did it, maybe just amongst themselves, you know, that sung it, you know. So we're going to sing it. We're going to sing, "Lord, we stand in the midst of multitude." And then when we sing the first stanza or so, then we now go to the stanza that the choir, that God used the choir to write. It's an example. There are many. There's another one, you know, about, like, "Here we are." There was one stanza, but because of time, I don't want us to sing too many. We'll just do this one. You know, "We stand in the midst of a multitude."
Lord, we stand in the midst of the multitude of those from every tribe.
Hallelujah.
And tongue. We are your people, redeemed by your blood, rescued from death by your life. There are no words good enough to thank you. There are no words to express our praise.
So lift those hands.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
For thanks by the blood of the Lamb, oh, we are your people, redeemed by your blood. Humbly we stand as we pray.
Worship the Lord. Let's raise our hands. Let's sing that last verse again. The last verse, but we'll sing it slowly this time. You know, the last verse, you know, we're cleansed by the blood. Yes.
Lord, we stand by grace in your presence. We are cleansed by the
Hallelujah.
Your power.
Release your power to work in us and through us.
Until we are changed.
Until we are changed.
To be more
like you.
Then
all the nations will see your glory.
Join hands with somebody. Prophetic worship is returning back to the church in its fullness. What we've just done here is just to touch the surface and give the principles. And the more we do it privately at home, the greater we're going to see a manifestation of it when we come collectively. That is why it has been taught, so that we can understand what it is and how to begin to practice it. This is what Paul meant when he wrote to Timothy. He says, stir up the gift that is in thee. You can't stir up word of wisdom or word of knowledge, but you can stir up worship. And when you do that, in the middle of the worship, a word of wisdom can come. Like David in the Psalms, I just give the example of, a word of wisdom can come. You know, and as we all do that and we come together, we're going to see greater and greater and greater manifestations of the presence of God in our midst. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, He passed unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you worship God with prophecy. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll be here.